We're in a series called Heroes. This series, we're studying men and women of God who God calls heroes. The more I study, the more I want to be called a hero someday. I want to be called good and faithful servant. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to be a friend of God. Studying heroes in the Bible, I'm encouraged, actually. I'm not discouraged. Because when I was younger, I looked at these heroes as they were something superhuman, right? But as I grew up and began to read Bible as an adult, when I was a child, I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things and I began to think differently. So now when I read the Bible, I see not just their strength, but I see a lot of weaknesses. A lot of weaknesses. These people who God used are not perfect. How many of you are excited about that? Yes, because, you know, that gives me and you hope. That tells me, hey, we can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. If man like Noah did it, if Abraham did it, if Isaac did it, today we're studying about Jacob. If he did it, and he was one of the worst of them, then we can do it. I want us to open our Bibles and start reading. And we're going to read a lot of scripture in the beginning, but I think it's going to be interesting scripture. Genesis 25, verses 21 through 34. So now we get introduced in Genesis to Jacob. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. They were fighting in their mother's womb. So she went to ask about it from the Lord. Why is this happening to me? She asked. Yeah, twist him so he taps out, right? UFC type of struggle. See, they didn't have the doctors in those days, so they couldn't go get, what is it called? Ultrasound, yeah? So what they had to do was they had to go to the Lord. She was like, what's going on? There's like war going on inside of my belly. So she went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will be two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve the younger one. Older one, we know, is Esau, and the younger one is Jacob, but they're twins. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins, just like the Lord said. The first one was very red at birth. The first redneck we got in the Bible. And he was a redneck. I mean, really, he was. And I'll show you why. The first one was very red at birth and covered with a thick hair like fur coat. Like some of you guys. Like me, right? Thank God I'm blonde. Otherwise, I'll be hairy. Sometimes I put a t-shirt on and you could see too much. Yes. We live in a culture where you can fix that problem, and many men do. A long time ago, I said, I'll never do it. I had a few hairs on my chest, and I'd be like, ah, that's manly. Now it's like, not so much. Interesting how you change from being young and how you think when you're young. You'll never do that. You're so idealistic when you're young, but then life hits you, and you're like, ah, shoot, shouldn't have said that. So Esau, the first one, was very hairy at birth. And so they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. Woo. So he's like, I'm not letting you go. Tap out, bro. I'm coming out first to the end. I mean, Esau is out already and he's still holding him, trying to pull him back in. I'm going to be first. So you see civil rivalry. You know, studying this family, I realized that they're the most messed up family, screw up, dysfunctional family that there was in the Bible. Everybody is doing whatever they want just to get what they want. Dysfunctional. How many of you are from dysfunctional family? You don't even know what kind of dysfunctional family I am. So I'm not ashamed. That's who I was. But thank God, look at me now. Right? So don't be ashamed of who you were. It's who you are now and who you're becoming in God. Amen. Next week, we'll discover how dysfunctional they really are. Today, we'll just know a little bit about them. Then his other twin was born. His hand was grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob, heel grabber, leg puller. He pulled your leg. He's a trickster, manipulator. Isaac was 60 years old when twins were born. So Isaac is the father. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. Told you he was a true redneck. He probably drove a big pickup truck with diesel engine, a big pipe coming out, smoke when he pushes on the gas. He probably had gun racks on his back seat somewhere, right? He was a man's man. He probably chewed tobacco and spit in a cup or something. Who needs a cup? He was one of those. Esau, right? Big beard, a little bit of some in it. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman. Yeah. But Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Oh, one is hairy, one is smooth. One goes hunting on his big truck with bows and arrows and things like that and is gone for days. One is spending time in mama's tent. So another mama's boy, right? Isaac was a mama's boy and Jacob is a mama's boy, his son. Isaac doesn't like Jacob. Maybe their personality just clashed. They were too much alike. The father and the son was too much alike. How many of you know when you see something that you don't like in your kids and you're like, right? So Isaac, the father, he loved his oldest son, Esau. He was the football player type of a guy. He lifted weights type of a guy. He was rough. Interesting about history, tells us that Esau was pretty bad dude. He was a powerful, he wasn't just a hunter, skillful hunter. Jewish history tells us that he was a great warrior as well. He was such a great hunter that King Nimrod, how many of you know who he is? Nimrod, you've heard him in the Bible. Nimrod was jealous of his hunting skills, of Esau. That's how good he was. His father, Isaac, was proud man. Look at my son. Even King Nimrod is jealous of my son. Jewish history says Nimrod is the one who built the Tower of Babel. Nimrod hated God, so he said, I'm going to build a tower, get up, and shoot some arrow. Something else about Nimrod. Nimrod was also a great hunter. And there was a competition between Nimrod and Esau. Now, it's not in our Bible, so we don't know if it's true or not. But Jewish history tells us that that's what happened. And one day, as they had a rivalry going on between Esau and Nimrod, Nimrod was hunting with his two best bodyguards, the strongest bodyguards. And Esau was hiding, waiting for him. Nimrod was old at that time. Esau comes out. This is from Jewish history, not in the Bible. Comes out, grabs a sword, and attacks Nimrod, the king, who was the biggest king of that time, and kills him. Then the two bodyguards make noise and attack Esau. Esau fights those two bodyguards to the point of, it's either you or me. It wasn't easy for him. It's not like he just slew them and that's it. It wearied him out. It wearied him. So Esau kills those two bodyguards and then the army is running now. Because the army was kind of far in the distance to let the king hunt. You know, because when you bring an army hunting, the animals get it and they run away. Esau escapes. And that's where, I don't know if it's true, but Esau runs home wearied and tired after the battle, scared for his life. He comes running, and here is his brother, the cook, okay, is in the house like he always is, and he cooks an amazing meal, the master chef. Let's read this. Let's go 29. One day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Now, did he kill Nimrod? We don't know. Maybe he was just hunting. But Jewish history tells us that he did. So I don't know. Maybe it's a legend. It's not in our Bible. We can't take it as truth. But at least we can paint a picture of what was happening in those days. Esau said to Jacob, verse 30, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Trade me your rights. Trade me your blessing. Give me something I want. And that's the firstborn right, birthright, that comes with the blessing. Look at the response of Esau. He says, look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? This shows us that Esau was an impatient man. This shows us that Esau was a man of flesh. Whatever his flesh desired, that's what Esau would give to its flesh. Are you responding in your life to the dictates of your flesh? Or are you following the spirit? Flesh always offers you fast pleasure. Flesh always offers you fast relief. Amen? You're tired? Okay, get this little bit of reefer and it'll make you feel good for a moment. And then it'll take your life. Flesh. So Esau was the man of flesh. He was not a man of the spirit. He was not a man of faith. So when Jacob says, sell me your trade, me your birthright. How dumb is that? Imagine this. You want to sell your house. You have a nice house. You want to sell it. You invite an appraiser. He appraises your house, let's say at $250,000. You have a nice house. You're like, wow, that's cool. So you put it on the market and you have an open house. People come in and you're hungry because you've been cleaning the house all day. You're hungry and you just want to eat. And somebody comes to you and says, here, $20 for your house. $20, cash, right now. Sign me over the deed. That's what really happened. Isaac cooked the stew, some soup, $20 worth, modern day interpretation. And Esau said, oh, really? Yeah, here. Here's my deed. Signed, give me $20. So Esau goes and eats a few hamburgers. After he eats those hamburgers, he's like, hold on, $20 for the house? So now he comes running back crying, you tricked me. You tricked me. How could you do that to me, man? I'm the victim here. No, you're stupid. You're not a victim. Not everybody who cries is a victim. His brother was just better sinner than he. Isn't it interesting when you sin and somebody outsins you and you're like, hey, no fair, right? That's what happened in this story. Esau didn't think about tomorrow. He didn't think about the lineage. He didn't think about the blessing being passed on from generation for 1,000 years. He was just thinking about soup right now. Listen, as a believer, you will be faced with the same thing. You have been given, and I'll show you that God has given you the blessing. But when you have a blessing, there's always going to be somebody who wants to take it from you. Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You think you became a Christian and now everything is going to be good. Satan will never come against you. Yes, he will. You know why? Because he wants to take your blessing. There is a battle going on for your blessing. Another translation of a blessing is happiness. Guess where Satan wants to attack us the most? Our happiness. Our satisfaction in God. Right? Our satisfaction in life. Why is it that we're always, always, always unhappy? Satan is a hunter. He's like the roaring lion trying to steal your happiness, steal the blessing that God has given you. And if you're a Christian, I will show you, prove you by the Bible today, you are blessed. You have a blessing working in your life. I think I'm getting too much ahead of myself. Let's get back a little bit to this. Who was Jacob? Because he's a hero of faith. For the next 3 weeks, we'll talk about Jacob. He's a fun, colorful character. He wrestled for the blessing all his life. So you want to probably know, what is the blessing? Why would he fight for it so much? Blessing is not money. Blessing is not possession, material possession. Isaac was super rich. His boys were covered financially. They had no problem financially. They weren't fighting for money. Some of you, when you think blessing right away, you think money. No, it's wholeness. Blessing is wholeness over your life. You can have money and be sick and not be whole. You can have all the money in the world and depressed. Why are the superstars commit suicide so much when they have all the money in the world? Because they thought money will make me happy and they went for it. And then when they got the money, they realized how empty they are. And the same thing, you could pursue material things, you could pursue lust, you could pursue whatever things you pursue, and at the end of that, you will find that it does not satisfy. But the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. That's what the Bible says. So you need to open your ears today to listen what the Lord is saying to you. The blessing. Who was Jacob? Jacob was born in a Jewish year of 2108. 2100 years since Adam and Eve was created. He was the second twin to Isaac and Rebekah. His name means leg puller and deceiver. He's number 7 in a list of heroes of faith. So if he had a t-shirt, it would be number 7. God later changes his name to Israel. So Israel actually comes from Jacob, not Abraham. Okay, God changed his name. Now, what does Israel mean? It means he struggles or he wrestles with God. For what? The blessing. Are you fighting for the blessing? Do you even know that you are blessed and the blessing is working in your life? Or do you ignore it like Esau did? See, Esau had the blessing, but he said, what is this blessing to me? And we can have as Christians the same attitude. What is this blessing to me? I want a one-night stand. I want it. I want it. I want to live my life before I get married how I want to live my life. I want it. I deserve to be happy. God, give it to me. Right? That's the attitude of Esau. And later, Bible says, God loved Jacob and Esau. He did what? Hated. God never says that about anybody in the Bible except Esau. Esau, I hated. Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. That's strong words, God. What do you mean? Why? Because he was a man of the flesh. He was all about living according to the flesh. When God has offered him something amazing, a gift that only he in the world could have, out of all the millions of people that lived in that day, he was destined for the blessing, and he rejected it. When you reject the blessing, when you sell it or trade it for something stupid, like a bowl of stew, or for a one-night stand, or a night of drunkenness, or a night spent with pornography, you change your history. Listen to me. God cherishes blessing so much, it's holy to him. When you reject the blessing of God, you profane God. You know what profanity is? In our day, it's a little bit different. But in a day where profanity was created, profanity is making the holy things as nothing, right? So taking the blessing and saying, I don't care about it. Bible says that's profaning. That's like calling God bad name, blankety this, blankety that. I don't care about your blessing. That's the attitude, profane. Am I preaching good? When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing he did, he released a blessing into their life. And he wasn't going to do it in every generation. He released one blessing and it was supposed to be passed on from family to family to family to family to family. And all the nations of the earth were supposed to be blessed through that blessing. Well, how did they lose that blessing? When they disobeyed God, they brought in what? A curse. Now, God didn't curse them, but he cursed everything they did. Come on. Cursed is the ground for your sake. You will toil in it. Why am I sweating when I'm preaching? The ground is cursed, man. Toil. All the days of your life, right? Curse. But Jesus came to restore the blessing. And as a Christian, the power of the blessing has been released into your life. If only you could recognize it. If only you can consciously walk in it. Wow. It could do wonders in your life. In the day of Isaac and Jacob, the blessing was only passed on from one person to another. In the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, the blessing is upon all the believers. But Satan wants to steal that blessing from you. Don't give it to him. Some of you might feel convicted right now. Well, Pastor, I've done all those things of being a Christian. Well, we've all done something. But today you can close the door from that hole that's draining your blessing. What is blessing? You remember when Jesus was walking by a fig tree and he found no fruit on it? What did he do? He cursed the tree and said, may no one eat fruit of you forever. Next day they're walking by that tree. What happens? It's dead. It withers. You see, our life without the blessing, when we don't recognize the blessing, it withers. When you recognize that I'm blessed by God, say it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Blessing makes you come alive. Bible says even when they're old, they will be fruitful and blossom. Blossom and be fruitful. That's the blessing of God working in our life. Do not despise this blessing. Do not sell anything for the blessing. Even if they offered you the whole world, Jesus said, no, I'd rather walk in the blessing. Satan says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus. That's an attempt on his blessing. Bow down to me. No, I can't. Blessing is bigger than that. Blessing will give me the whole world, right? And when God gives me, nobody can take it away. When Satan gives you, Satan takes away. When God gives, nobody can take it away. God's blessing is eternal. Satan's blessing, it's not a blessing. It's just a trick. It's a fake. It's temporary. And then you're in a gutter. Then you're in jail, homeless. Because instead of paying your bills, you're getting drunk. And now you don't have a house. And then you're like, God, where are you? God says, where were you? I'm there, he says. I was there when you sold your blessing. I was there. But it's your choice. As a Christian, my call to you today, stop selling your blessing. What are you selling your blessing for today? Stop it. Stop it. What is the blessing? Blessing is a spiritual force that God releases upon the life of a person whom he chooses to favor. What is the blessing? You need to write this down. Blessing is the spiritual force. How many of you are into Star Wars? There's all this force be with you, right? Okay. All right. Blessing is the spiritual force that God releases into the life of a person whom he chooses to favor. Through Jesus Christ, if you're a believer today, God has released a blessing into your life. Blessing makes a man or a woman truly happy. Blessing gives a person ability to live life to the fullest. Blessing is something parents pass on to their children. Blessing is something God counts holy. Esau rejected the blessing. By that, he rejected God. Jacob said, I want it. I want it more than anything. There was another man in the Bible in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth has been so painful. Verse 10. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted his request. God loves it when you come to him and ask him for a blessing. God loves it when you say, I honor the blessing. God loves it when we do that. The problem with the blessing, however, let me give you the negatives. Why Esau rejected the blessing? Because the blessing doesn't seem like it's working in your life right now. You cannot see the blessing working in your life at a moment. Let me explain how. Imagine you take a rock that has a lot of rough edges. And you take that rock and put it under a waterfall. You come in and next day you pick it back up and it's like, oh, water has no power. Water has no power. So you throw the rock back again. You come back a year later and you look, oh, it's kind of smooth, but you throw it back in and come back in 5 years, 10 years. You pick up that rock and it's smooth. Water has the power to make the rough edges disappear. The blessing is the same way. The reason people trade their blessing for 20 bucks, the reason people trade their blessing for a one-night stand, the reason people trade their blessing for whatever you trade your blessing in your life, apply it to yourself, is because they don't see the effect of the blessing in a moment. The blessing doesn't just work in one day. It's working over a lifetime. Like the waterfalls, like the water works on the stone. You get it? Some of you came to church one time or even for a month or 10 months or whatever, and you're like, I don't feel the difference. Where's the blessing? I don't care. I'm just going to go live. It's boring, man. I'm going to go live up my life. Well, listen, the blessing is not a momentary thing. There's a difference between the blessing of God and the blessing of the devil. And you cannot call the devil's the blessing. The hook. You can call it the hook. Let's call it bait. The blessing and the bait. Okay? Satan gives you momentary pleasure. Momentary, right there. And then you pay for it throughout your lifetime. God gives a blessing and it begins slowly working over a period of time. And before you know it, Bible says there is a difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. So just by coming to church once, maybe you raised your hand and said, I want to serve Jesus. Or maybe you said, well, I've been coming to church for a month and I don't see a difference. Things are getting worse, Pastor. What's up? Just wait. The blessing is working. Keep waiting. The blessing is working. Keep going. Keep trusting God. Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of the believers. Keep going because the blessing is working. And before you know it, you look back at your life and you see the difference. I was in Florida and we have friends there and we haven't seen each other for a while. And then they talked to us and we were talking and they're like, man, you've changed. You're a different person. And I'm like, I don't think I've changed. And they start telling me, you were like this, you would say stuff like this and this. And now you're totally different. And then you recognize, wow, the blessing is working. The rock becoming smoother around the edges, right? The blessing is working. You're becoming whole. You're becoming whole. You're becoming whole. So today, maybe I'm talking to believers that you gave your life to Jesus, but you don't understand the blessing. As a Christian, you're blessed. Galatians 3:9, it says this. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Whew. Let's read it again. You didn't get it. Pay attention. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Didn't get it yet. Let's do it again. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. That's better. God said to Abraham, everyone who blesses you will be blessed. Everyone who curses you will be cursed. Don't mess with me. I'm blessed. Don't mess with your brother and sister. That's why Jesus said, bless your enemies even. We don't curse. We don't have it in our DNA. We're different. We're new creation. All we can do is bless. Even our enemies. Even those who curse us. Because if you curse them, well, they'll curse you. When you bless, there's a wall. You create a wall around yourself. Your enemies cannot do anything to you because you're blessed. Amen. Ephesians 3:1, last scripture, it says this. Paul writes, all praises to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Watch this. This is it. This is big. You have the blessing of Abraham and you have the blessing spiritual, all spiritual blessing. Blessing of Abraham and all this spiritual blessing. This is huge. What is that spiritual blessing? God has chose you before the foundation of the world. Number two, he has adopted you into his family. Number three, we have obtained inheritance, eternal inheritance. That's why he says, store up your treasures in heaven. There is inheritance, okay? Have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Meaning when you become a believer, Holy Spirit takes a stamp and says, mine. Satan, you can't take him. Mine. You can't take him. Mine. You have been given the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you. That's spiritual blessing. There's more. I could be talking about them. But there's also material blessing. Blessing of Abraham and spiritual blessing. Blessing of Abraham and the spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessing. I can't sell that. I can't sell that for something so insignificant that does not satisfy. I will not sell. Begin to declare it. I will not sell anything for the blessing. The blessing of God is working in this place. The blessing of God is working in this place. All the blessings of Abraham are yours now if you're in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are yours. You're not just some schmuck. No, you're not just some person who's broke maybe. You're bigger than that. You're blessed. Now, don't go and tell your friend, I'm blessed. And your car has holes in it. You tell you're blessed to your mirror. You tell you're blessed when you're alone in your car. And it's broke on the side of the road. You tell you're blessed when Satan says, you can't have that thing you were asking for. Say, I'm blessed. And a blessing is power to bring life and fruitfulness into my life. That's what it is. I'm blessed. When Satan says you're nothing, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life. I'm blessed. You can't. I'm blessed and not cursed. The curse has been broken on the cross. The curse of Adam and Eve has been broken. The curse of sin has been broken over your life. Don't live under it. You are blessed. I am blessed. I'm favored by God. Now, I know you're favored too, but I don't care. I'm favored. That's how you need to think about yourself. I know other people are favored. I'm not going to be jealous of them, but I am favored by God. I need to focus on me, not you. God says, I will bless you, Abraham, and make you a blessing. God wants to bless you, church. There's going to be many millionaires rising up from this church. Not because of money, but because so you can use the money to spread the gospel, heal the sick, preach to the poor, bless the poor, go over the world. Receive that. Some of you just received that. When I said it, you grabbed it. That's yours. Now, it doesn't happen just like water doesn't make the rock smooth overnight. But it shall happen 100%. 100%, people. Maybe you're not going to be a millionaire. But God is going to provide for you financially really good. He wants to use you. He wants you to be the blessing to the nations. Stop thinking about just yourself. You are blessed. But now, God wants you to be the blessing. If you are walking far from God today, you can't have that blessing, being away from God. But when you give your life to Jesus, that blessing is activated in your life. It's activated. It's the beginning. It's the beginning process. It's activated in your life. And that's your starting point of the blessing. And it begins to work. And it begins to pick up steam. And it begins to work. Doesn't happen overnight. Only schemes happen overnight. The blessing works over a lifetime and through your generations in the future. So if you would like to give your life to Jesus today, God loves you. He brought you here so He can activate that blessing in your life. I know that blessing. It's been working. I know that blessing. It's been working in me. So I know what I'm talking about. This is not theories. This is reality. This is practice. We're going to pray right now. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me. Activate that blessing right now. In Jesus' name, I believe that I'm saved. I'm forgiven. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. From this moment, I declare, according to the Word of God, that I'm blessed. I'm blessed. The curse is broken and the blessing is working. And it's producing its results in my life. From this moment, I will not be dry. I will be full of life of God. Holy Spirit, fill me right now. Fill my life right now. Fill me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.